Sometimes when it comes to counting up new jobs in America, you need some time to kick the tires and take a test drive. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Is hiring at a downward inflection point? A new way of calculating hiring in America suggests the answer is possibly. A newly revamped tool for counting payrolls in America put out by the paycheck processor ADP finds that about 132,000 jobs were created this month. Interesting, but this is a brand new way of counting this. In Chicago, Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities at Exchange Capital Resources. Susan, does this mean higher interest rates are finally slowing down hiring?
Well, slowing perhaps, but it's the newly revamped ADP report, and so we don't really know. It's not an apples-to-apples comparison, and I think investors are going to take this number with a lot of skepticism. Until we see several months of data, we don't really understand what the trend is or what this represents.
So the pro version of this data is not for a couple more days, right?
That's right. Remember that every Wednesday when these numbers are released, it's the Wednesday where we get the private payroll data. But Friday, we're going to get the government numbers. The government hasn't revamped anything, so that will have some consistency to prior numbers. We'll see how that data comes out. And I think investors will really be looking to that to see what's happening on the job front and what is going on with jobs in the economy.
Yeah, what they're looking for, right, is are there signs that these higher interest rates, as engineered by central bankers, is at some level slowing the pace of hiring, which might take the edge off inflation, which might mean not as high interest rates ahead.
That's right. Investors are really looking at all the economic data that they can find right now, and they're looking to see two things. What are those higher interest rates doing? Then what are those impacts on the economy? So is it impacting the pace of employment, the pace of hiring, and then importantly, what's the read-through to the economy for that? Does that mean businesses aren't expanding as rapidly or are reticent to expand because they're worried about the pace of business, thereby implying that maybe the economy is taking a little bit of a pause? We don't know yet. Investors just wait and try to read the tea leaves, and we'll see what happens.
Susan Schmidt at Exchange Capital Resources out of Chicago. Thank you.
Thank you.
Typically, the government taxes debt that gets canceled. Someone lent you money, you don't have to pay it back. Isn't that income? But when President Biden announced his plan to forgive some student loan debt last week, the administration also decided that the canceled debt would not be taxed by the feds, but states can still tax it. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has details.
Some states just follow federal tax law, and they'll mirror the Biden administration's tax forgiveness. But the Tax Foundation has counted six states that could still tax the canceled debt. Among them, Arkansas, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Mississippi. Bloomberg reports that Mississippi will tax the forgiven debt, and the governor confirmed that in a tweet. Arkansas and Massachusetts are still deciding what to do. It's also an open question in Minnesota. That state's Department of Revenue website says taxpayers may be able to subtract the amount of canceled debt from their income and not be taxed on it. Pennsylvania announced it won't tax the forgiven student debt, and according to the Tax Foundation, California officials say the canceled debt is tax-free under that state's law. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
California's legislature has approved a bill that would set rules for how social media companies interact with children. Internet companies have opposed this, and the governor there, Gavin Newsom, has not yet said whether he'll sign this into law. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
The bill would make California the first state in the country to require social media platforms design their products with minor safety and mental health in mind. Here's Democratic State Senator Josh Newman, who co-authored the bill.
This bill will require websites and other online services, which are likely to be accessed by children, to offer basic default privacy and safety protections.
The key phrase there is likely to be accessed by children. Internet companies and business groups were opposed, as that is a broad mandate impacting the likes of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and others, not just online services specifically targeted to children. The bill also requires privacy, terms of service, and other policies be written in plain language, which children accessing a platform can understand. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
The rip-roaring job market that came after COVID lockdowns threatened to pull people out of gig economy jobs, jobs apportioned by mobile app, with many taking regular jobs instead. But there's evidence that the inflation we're seeing this year is pushing some people back into driving for Uber or Lyft and beyond, presumably to pick up extra cash to deal with the higher prices. And regulation of this sector varies by where you live. California passed Assembly Bill 5, which defined many more workers, gig ones included, as employees versus contractors and therefore eligible for more employment rights and benefits. Now, that law is still being challenged in court. In Massachusetts, a bid to ask voters to define gig workers as contractors failed this summer to make it onto the ballot there. Let's get a view from Terry Gerstein. She's director of the State and Local Enforcement Project at the Harvard Law School's Labor and Work Life Program. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
A lot of states wrestling with this, right?
Yes, there are a lot of states wrestling with this. What states are grappling with, it's not just in relation to gig workers. It's also in relation to this broader issue of who's an employee and entitled to all of the protections that our social contract and our laws have said that employers have to follow, and who's an independent contractor and really running their own business. A number of states have carved gig companies or platform companies out of protection just by statute. But in a number of other states, this is something that's being really carefully looked at as they try to figure out that this is often described as or seen as a new form of organizing work.
I mean, it is a conundrum for experts like yourself and for the legal system. I mean, it's if you're driving for Uber or DoorDash, do you really own your own business? You know, you could argue it in different ways.
Well, I think for most people, when you really crystallize it to that question, it's just common sense that they're not running their own business. These workers are economically dependent on the company. There are all kinds of methods of control that the company exerts. The drivers don't set their own prices. And it's pretty clear that these people are actually employees. And there have been court cases that have found that. For example, in New York State, there was a case about a Postmates worker and whether that worker was entitled to unemployment insurance. And the state's highest court upheld a decision by the Labor Department finding, yes, this worker had the right to get unemployment insurance, just like every other worker for a mom and pop store or the, you know, the diner down the street.
If you're trying to answer, what are the rules for me as a business person or for me as an employee slash contractor? You got to check state by state, though, right?
So it really depends on what law you're looking at and which right you're looking at, whether you need to look to state law or federal law. Within the past several years, some cities have gotten involved in trying to make sure that these workers have better working conditions. Seattle and New York City are the main leaders in this area. They've sort of said, okay, we're going to sidestep this issue of classification and whether they're employee or independent contractor. We just believe that anyone who works within our city should at least be making X amount of money. Cities and municipalities, localities have a really potentially important role to play in just increasing standards and setting floors right away while sidestepping that issue of classification.
Terry Gerstein, director of the State and Local Enforcement Project at the Harvard Law School's Labor and Work Life Program. Thank you for helping us with this.
Thank you so much for having me.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.